This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from Skytook, Oklahoma, in the home of pastors Chip and Candace Brim. They pastor along with Jan and Lee Morgans down and Christy Mullen down at Collinsville, Oklahoma, that in the church, a glorious church fellowship, which is the basis of all our ministry. Years ago, back in the 70s, that was the basis of Billy Brim Ministries. Everything we do at Prayer Mountain, everything we do in Israel comes from that church. And so, Chip, I remember you told me, now you understand what Brother Hagin said when he said, talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I just started pastoring and a couple of years ago.
You're pastoring half-time and traveling half-time. You still travel.
And Mom said a long time ago that Brother Hagin said that every pastor needs to travel and be an itinerant minister, and every itinerant minister needs to pastor so that they can understand what's going on. So, and I fully understand that now.
So since you've been an itinerant minister and now you're a pastor part-time, you came in and you gave me a telephone call and you told me something you'd seen out there.
Yeah, I have just seen an epidemic.
Did you see it on both levels? Did you see it in the travel ministry and in the...
Yes, in the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Not in the world, it's filled, but in the body of Christ,
we're
there's an epidemic of fear. At the same time, there's a wave of miracles, signs, and wonders going on as well.
Yes.
But it's almost like it's combating.
Oh,
and so the enemy
there's an enemy.
The enemy is now, he's going to go full force fear to fight this, what's going on.
Chip, I just saw something.
Yeah.
God, Brother Hagin's the one we get so much that we got from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, so there's where we got it. We'll give the credit. I heard him say many times, God has a little category of sin in the book of Revelation 21:8. And the first one he lists is fear. And the second one, unbelief. Then he lists abominable things, murders, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. He said, we might have put whoremongers first, but not God. He put fear first and then unbelief. Why? What do you think that is? Because what's going to limit God in your life, number one, and is fear. And number two is unbelief. Now, Chip was talking to me about this epidemic. I see it because I teach end time things and people are always coming up. They're afraid, scared of the end time. What are you telling me? Jesus looked past those things for the glory of the cross. The future is as bright as God can make it. The church is not going through the tribulation. We are not appointed to wrath. That's not our subject today. It might be later on. You can get my teaching from our book syllabus on the book of Revelation. But when Chip called me and talking about this, it reminded me of what David Barron said. And he was commenting on Isaiah 51, where God is upbraiding Israel because they forgot him and they remember the enemy. They're looking all around them at what the enemy's doing. And he said, and you forgot, I'm going to read it to you now, the 13th verse of Isaiah 51. You forgot Jehovah your maker that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And you fear continually all the day because of the fury of the oppressor when he makes ready or aims to destroy. So people are looking all around at what the devil's doing right now, and they have forgotten their Jehovah, their maker, who is the creator of it all. So David Barron wrote, it is not only foolish and sinful, and it is not only foolish and unreasonable for Zion to fear, but sinful. For fear is the offspring of unbelief and the result of forgetfulness of God. God said to the Israelites, you fear because you forget me, and you only look round about and see the enemy making ready to destroy. I am with you, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping, faithful God who will never fail you, your maker who is surely able to protect you and feed you and clothe you. He hasn't lost the recipe for manna. But so fear and unbelief. So we're talking on the telephone.
So in the phone conversation, Mom said, fear is forgetfulness of God. And I said, Mom, what's the opposite of fear? She said, faith. We both said faith.
We all said at the same
and
time.
And then I said, what's the opposite of forgetfulness? And we both said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because he took over, remembrance. We said remembrance. And then Mom brought
up
that
scripture. And then I said, hey, John, what about 14, what Jesus 26? Said in John 14, 26? He said that the Holy Spirit, now he said, he'd already told them, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. So when Jesus was here walking on the earth, you had to be where Jesus was. But when Jesus left, when he shed his blood, and he left and he went to heaven, and then he shed forth his blood and cleansed us so that every single one of us can have the anointed one and his anointing living in us through the power of the Holy Ghost. And here's what Jesus said in John 14, 26. The Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your
remembrance.
Whatsoever I have said unto you.
The word.
The word. So to get rid of fear and to not forget God, he causes you to remember what the word says.
So what word you have in you, he's ready. He's ready. His job.
And that's all he needs.
Yeah, just give him a word.
Give him
something to work with. And he will bring it to your remembrance. Isn't that good news?
That's good news
that we're not on our own. So if we increase our word intake, he's going to help us with that.
But he can work with just a little word.
Sure.
When you're starting.
Right.
You know, just a verse. I thought of Mario Marilla. He's in Branson now in a series of meetings. And he was born again off the streets during the Jesus movement, really. And he got born again, a little Latin boy. There were gangs everywhere. Kids in his school were having funerals, getting murdered right and left. And he's a little Latino boy. And there are other gangs. There are, you know, different groups. And so he goes to church. That's a long story how he finally went. He didn't even have any idea of going down the front, but he did. And he got born again one day. And the pastor said, I am going to give you a scripture and you're going to memorize it. And the scripture he gave him, where is that, Shelley? First John 4, 4?
Greater
is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he taught Mario one scripture.
That's all he had.
Greater is he who is in me, you make it personal, than he who is in the world. That's the only one he knew. The next day he got surrounded by a rival gang. And they had this thing where they would start with a circle and they had a switchblade knife. And they'd pass it from one, they'd open the knife and pass it one to the other to the other. Then they would come in, close in on you. And they were still passing the knife, so you couldn't know who killed you. But then at the end, they stab you. And the Holy Ghost, he's born again one day. And the Holy Ghost said, yell out the scripture. So he yelled it out. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And he yelled it again and again. And he opened his eyes, they were all gone. One scripture.
Who reminded him?
The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He was born of the Spirit. Oh. Chip, what about that time with you in that scripture?
Well, in college, I had low word intake. And Mom has said before that if there's a low word intake in an area that you're struggling in fear, or if you're struggling in fear in an area, there's probably low word intake in that area. So I'm in college and there's like no word intake. Let's just put it that way. Backslidden the whole bit, trying to live for the devil. Yes, I was born again. And fear came upon me, and it was fear. There's no doubt it was. And I'd get sick and ulcers and worry and care.
Mainly before ball games, right?
And any word I did have in me, it was choked out. Because, you know, the cares and the worries the riches in this world will choke the word out of you. So anyway, I called Mom and I said, I need help. And she told me what to do. She said, Chip, you've got to speak this. The Bible doesn't say you have whatsoever you think. It says you have whatsoever you saith. She goes, you got a baseball cap on? I said, yeah. She goes, turn it over on your bill and write this verse. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And is it power and love or love and power? I can't remember. Which one's first?
Power.
Power and love and sound mind. Yeah, okay. And that's what I thought. So she goes, now I want you to say it when it tries to come upon you. And sure enough, it would come at different times. And I took my hat off and I said it. And it didn't work. So I called Mom and I said, it didn't work. She goes, what do you mean it didn't work? The word always works. I said, well, it didn't. She goes, well, how many times did you say it? And I said, once. You told me to say it once. I'm a real detailed person. You got to explain and draw pictures, you know. So she said, Chip, if it takes, you got to say it as many times as it takes. She said, go. She knew how to get me. So she said, Chip, go for the record. And I said, well, what's the record? Who's got the record? Brother Copeland? Oral Roberts?
How many times you say
who's
it?
Got
you
it?
Know, the record of how many times.
Mom
you
goes,
said.
I don't know. There, 100. 100 is the record. Go for the 100. And I said, I will have 101 by tomorrow. And so I'm going for the record, and I start speaking the word, and here it come. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. God's not giving me a spirit. The whole time I'm getting the word in there, and the Holy Spirit now can help me.
Yeah.
And because he's the power. And I'm feeling good about after 50, but I got to break the record. I can't leave the record hanging. I got to have it. I don't want Brother Copeland to have that record. I want that record. I love him, but you know what I'm talking about. So anyway. I break the record, and I'm totally free. And I call Mom, and I said, Mom, I am free. She goes, I told you it works every time. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword.
The word never fails.
Never fails. The Holy Ghost, the power of God. So I'm like, yay, woohoo, party, you know, let's live free. She goes, well, I got some news for you. He's going to try to come back tomorrow. I said, what? That was not good news. I just got this victory. Let me hold the trophy up a little while. Come on. Well, it's no big deal. Just go round two. Get him with the word. Just get him out of there. So I did, and about 20, 30 times, and I got free, and I continued to do that to where now it was just one time a day.
Yeah,
and I'm
sure.
Living fear-free for like 30 years now.
Now, I think, I don't know if we emphasize this enough, the fear was causing you to have stomach problems.
Yeah, sickness.
It's stomach problems. And the Lord revealed that it was fear. And so when he got rid of the fear, got rid of the stomach problems.
Right.
And that's how he knew he was free. Bless the Lord. So God, that was the word of God. You took it in there. That comes from the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so he wrote that on the inside of his baseball cap. I remember seeing him at games. Take that baseball cap over and read it, you know, that bill. Put it back on his head. And so with me, the time I had to conquer something to walk in the love walk, I wrote it on 3x5 cards and put those 3x5 cards everywhere in my house so that I would remember not to notice a suffered wrong. So what do you do to conquer fear? You conquer it with faith. Where does faith come from? The word of God. So if you have to write it down a jillion times, if you have to say it a jillion times, whatever, you do not let fear take up a residence in you, and we're going to talk about that. Now, tomorrow, we're going to start with, you want to bring your Bible tomorrow, and we're going to start with 2 Timothy 1:7, and we're going to show you some more things in that God has recently shown us, to tell you the real truth. We recently saw this about remembrance. I want to invite you to come to our Autumn Assembly of Prayer in Branson, Missouri, October 28th through November 2nd. This is our annual prayer meeting. We have several thousand people who come. They come from all over the world. This meeting's different. It's not so much where you come to get something as you come to give something. And these people come to give and to pray. And the spirit and the level of the spirit in those meetings is remarkable. I'm looking to see what it'll be this year because things are happening everywhere right now. And so this is our 20th anniversary. Won't you come and join us? Go online to billybrim.org or 1-800-972-3447. Call us at the toll-free number and find out how you can register. You don't have to, but if you register that you're coming, it will help us, and we'll have some gifts for you when you get there. You'll find out where it is at the Branson Event Center and where you can stay. All the info. This is Billy Brim and family saying shalom, shalom.